You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media studios, this is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Also, special thanks to Nick. She's Kurt Nick for coming on in today. And for Paul and Derek and Molly from the Green Bay Hard Bodies Bodybuilding and Figure Championships for coming in. And now our favorite segment, or one of our favorite segments of the week, the interesting people that Tori Wittenbrock from Headlines with the Press Times brings in. And today she's got Jesse and Savannah Van Ness. No relation to Luke Van Ness, I would imagine, of the Packers.
Nope. Negative.
Talking about the bodybuilding show at the Meyer. First of all, Tori, hello.
Hello.
Can we just briefly mention what you told me on your way out the door last week that I don't think we talked about, that you're going to do a super great project?
Yeah, I'm getting started on a book about the history of women's basketball at GB.
I think that is sensational, because that is such a story to be told. I don't know if there's anybody in the country that went from zero as far as support, whatever, terrible accommodations, facilities where they had to play and everything like that, for that women's basketball program to get from there to literally, basically, I think it should be considered a top 25 women's basketball school. I really and truly do. And I can't think of a school in the country that rose in such a short time the way UW Green Bay women's program did.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it's super exciting because I'm still just in the research phase and everything. But I went to UWGB, so it's really cool that, like, from my perspective, to look into and to, you know, dig around and find out stuff about this program that I really had no clue about the history.
You're going to have so much fun. You're going to meet some unbelievable personalities.
Yeah.
It's a great, great, because you know what? It's like when you've been through hard times or whatever, you really do get forged into a, you know, a great teamwork type of, and that's the way the UW Green Bay women's program has always been. Didn't have the greatest facilities, didn't have the whatever, fight for practice time, but man, did they forge it all together.
Well, and everybody's excited to talk about it too. Like, as soon as I got started in this, it was like, this person wants to talk to you, this person wants to talk to you, I have contact information for another person, and it's like, okay, I've got a lot to go off of because everyone's excited about it.
Good for you.
And I think what you find there, I mean, you're going to obviously talk about coaching and players, but the community really did step up back in 2002, three. I mean, Mrs. Bush, especially. Yeah, I mean, that's named after Carol Bush, right?
Yeah.
And that's their company right across the street.
Yeah.
They didn't have to do that. And they went in big on that. That's a beautiful arena you guys play in. I prefer the men's games.
I'm glad the men's games are going to be there.
Yeah. There are. There's more of them this year. But anyway, there was a whole lot more community support. There's even some support from the state on that too. So it wasn't a Packer thing, but there was just a lot of community support from a lot of levels. And I just hope you cover that as well as obviously the coaching, the players, and everything else. So it's going to be a good book.
Yeah, of course.
All right, awesome. Cool. Congratulations on that. Hey, let's talk to Jesse and Savannah, bodybuilding show at the Meyer. Tell a little bit again, because, you know, I think there's a preconceived thing. Of course, I was telling them when I used to cover, they used to have the National Bodybuilding Championships in Tucson when I worked in TV down there. And that was back before they tested anything. Okay. And these people would come out, and I said they'd be 5'6" this way and 5'6" this way. You know the types about?
Yeah.
And just muscle here, muscle here, muscle, whatever. Now it's natural. You guys get polygraph tests and testing and everything like that. First of all, welcome. And talk about how you guys decided to get into the world of bodybuilding.
Yeah, well, I joined the Army when I was 19, and so I never stepped foot in a gym in my life. And when I was in processing in Texas, this guy that was kind of going along with me asked if I wanted to go to the gym with him. And I'm like, I have nothing else to do. I have no vehicle, and you do, so I will go with you, and I'll try it out. And, I mean, I've been in the gym mostly since then.
But is that addicting?
It took time for me to really.
But like we were talking earlier,
right, we're
you
not
get
there.
You don't get addicted to working out. You get addicted to seeing those results.
They help, yes, for sure. It will keep you going back, I believe. Yeah.
And you're married, right? You're a couple.
Correct.
Yep. Okay. I want to say that is I think you got your son with you, and I think parents might be interested in this because it is drug free, and we don't like sending our kids into environments that are questionable or whatever word I'm looking for, but. That's pretty cool. Is that part of the reason for the attraction to that? I mean, you guys are young. You could do whatever you want. But what made you pick this lane?
I think it's just for myself and my morals and values as a Christian woman to really bring, for me, Christ into everything I do. Mm-hmm. So being involved in the Hard Body show, knowing that it's a tested show, and you get to just showcase what you worked on.
Right.
And then the family aspect of it, having a little one. And then last year, going to my husband's show, I was uncomfortable at first. This is my first year in the gym all over the place. So I've never worked out before. So I'm like, well, I don't know what it's going to be like bringing my son into this environment. I went just to be supportive, but I was really amazed of how supportive each person is, especially in this tested type of environment.
Right.
You're there to just showcase your ability to work out and to nutrition, you know, really focus on that nutrition and support each other. So
I love your confidence. I don't know how many people would say, hey, you know what? I haven't worked out in a really long time, but I'm going to join the bikini competition.
That's my first opportunity to get to that. So yes. you not only went to support your husband, you loved it. You loved the environment, the people, the support.
Yep.
You jumped in.
I did.
This is your first year.
First, yep, 11 months, oh almost, yep. I was not a gym person. I was just blessed with a small body. I never had to work out in my life. You know, I was in the military too, but right. I did not like that part of, you know, the physical fitness, and ultimately led me to just end my contract and move on. But seeing Jesse on the stage, and just what really got me was the women who had children who were competing, like, you have a stomach, there's skin there. And these women were just like, yep, 4 kids, I'm doing it.
Wow.
And that was so cool. Like, oh my gosh, this is real life, you know? And then I was like, what would it look like if I was on stage, you know? And so, that's what started it.
So you've worked out, obviously.
Yes.
And you get on there, and then what, do you pose for 2 minutes? Or how does that work? Like, how, you're going to wear a bikini, you said that.
Yep. So
what kind of music do you come out to? Did you pick your music yet?
I did. So the second part of the show, the finals, as an amateur, we get 60 seconds to a song.
Oh, 60, okay.
Yep. And you do whatever you want on stage. Hit any kind of poses, any sort of, you know, there's a general format of how you walk on stage, but you can do whatever you want. So the song I picked was Undeniable by Blanca.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward
to it. Are you nervous about it, or do you feel good?
I was nervous in the beginning just because of the posing aspect. That's so not natural.
Yeah. But some of us.
Yeah. I was going to say something else, but.
Yeah. I'm glad I don't have a two-way mirror. Yeah. Being honest here.
Yeah.
But just the women that I've met, the other Christian women, thank God, just supporting me and learning how to pose. And, you know, Kristen Renard, she was really there for me coaching how to, you know, just how to present your body in a feminine way,
right.
According to the regulations. So that really just offset the
my
nervousness.
Fears.
So.
Tori, any questions?
Yeah. When I was talking to you guys, one of the things that I thought was really interesting was, I know you said that this is your first year, you just mm-hmm. said 11 months that you've been training for it and everything. But one of the things that I thought was really interesting when I was talking to you guys for the paper was when you're talking about like advice for people that are looking to first get into it, how it's important to, you know, take things slowly mm-hmm. so that you can establish a routine before you just jump in. And that one of the biggest mistakes a lot of people make is just going like, I need to make a change. I need a diet. I need to exercise. And they try and like do everything all at once. And
those
kind of
crazy
works.
People, hey, Jim,
who would do that?
Who would do that?
Oh my God. What? Why are you looking at me?
I can't believe I sprained my back lifting yesterday. I hadn't been in the gym in 6 years. I don't know how this happened.
That happens all
no
the time.
Instant
great
results.
Question, Tori.
Yeah.
Did you get a program? How did you? Yeah, that's a good question. You have to start slow, right? I mean, I don't
right,
know.
Right, yeah.
Jesse really kind of was my mentor and coach through it all, fitness and nutrition, because of his experience and your years of knowledge. So he's kind of been the one coaching me.
Give us some nutrition advice.
Start small.
Small portions of cake. No,
yeah, no, I like to tell people to start small. Maybe you stop putting sugar in your coffee, switch lower calorie soda, something small.
That Uncle Mike's Kringle that's almost done, that's not ours.
No.
It's not.
We didn't even touch it.
Right. It's just the empty box.
What's kind of cool as a couple, you work all together then.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's nice.
Most of the time.
Yeah. That's cool.
Right. Tori, what do you think of these two?
I mean, I think it's really impressive. And I've had friends and stuff and siblings of friends that have done competitions like this.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah. And it's really interesting when you follow along with like social media because I've never done it. But in my opinion, from what I've seen is that it really does become a lifestyle and it becomes your whole life. I mean, it's like you kind of almost have to obsess about like your nutrition, your workout and everything to get to that
well,
point.
Well, like you said, if you get the self-confidence to walk out there in Speedos, basically, for lack of a better word, you better. Commit, right?
Exactly, right. Yeah.
And it's kind of cool that you're young, but this thing can go on for a lifestyle.
Absolutely. Because there's a 60-plus category.
There is, yeah, correct.
Why are you laughing?
Hey, hop in the Masters.
You got it.
You only need 11 months next year, both of you.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, tell us a little bit about your military careers, if you wouldn't mind.
Sure, yeah. I joined right after high school, pretty much, when I turned 19, and I did 3 years, my one contract. I did one deployment for 9.5 months, and then I got
Where'd
out.
Where'd you go?
Afghanistan.
What unit? Who'd you go with?
I think it was 3-1 back
oh,
then.
Oh, yeah, it was 3-1, but the unit disbanded shortly after. Yeah. Okay.
So you're a regular Army then?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. I didn't know if you were one of the Manitowoc area.
Oh, no. I was stationed in Fort Bliss, Texas. So.
Okay, and where were you in Afghanistan?
Helmand Province.
Oh, sure. Wow, that's not a nice place.
No, it doesn't even sound very nice.
That was a really, okay.
They named it right.
Yeah.
You just lost the lottery when they said where you were going, didn't you?
Yeah, right.
Wow, God bless you. How about yourself?
Yep. Same, I joined right out of high school. I remember I turned 17 on a Sunday, and I was like, Monday morning, parents, come with me. I'm signing up. It was right away. I knew I was going to join pretty much early high school.
Army?
Army, active duty Army. Joined the Army as an 88 Mike, which is a heavy truck driver.
Okay.
We both were stationed in Fort Bliss, Texas. We both were in the same unit, 3-1 AD, but separate, areas. And then deployed to Afghanistan as well, over on the west side of Afghanistan. I was only there for 6 months, and then we all came home. So I did the 3.5 years active duty, and then did about another 4 years reserves. Kind
God
of different
bless
areas
you
in
both.
Wisconsin.
Thank you for
cool
doing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
thank
you're high school sweethearts. You did this all together?
Not really.
Together?
So,
nope.
Oh, she
well, not from Manitowoc
right.
in North Carolina.
Yeah. No, we met. Well, we were both stationed in Texas.
Okay. I did that by design.
Yep, we met after I had gotten out.
From what I've heard of Fort Bliss, there is not a lot to do, right?
There's a lot of burritos and a lot of Mexican food. It's great.
We'll go with that. Got a text here. Thanks to the Press Times for a wonderful article about a 96-year-old UWG professor, Jack Day. Very well done. He was one of the first in 1968 when the school started, William. Nice job, you guys.
Thank
you guys
you.
Are, yeah. Don't they do a great
job? They do. I
get excited when I see their paper in my mailbox.
Friday.
No lie.
Yeah, that's always good to hear. And I mean, we've gotten a lot of really good feedback
and
about,
I just
from the
really
community.
Hope you stay with the printed. I mean, I like
we need great people
papers.
In print.
Yeah. Hey, what do you guys do outside of this?
I work for Bell & Health as a medical biller trainer. So I train the medical billers for Bell & Health.
We love
Bell. Or now, Amplify.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am the warehouse manager for Mako's Floor Covering.
Oh, cool.
Familiar with them, too. Well, it's good.
Awesome.
All right.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
And this is something that you're going to compete on Saturday. We're going to come and watch you. Are you going to continue this? Is this something that's in your blood, or it's a one-and-done thing?
We like to take it one show at a time, but we're already kind of talking about next year lightly.
Awesome.
Because, I mean, we just have so much fun doing it together. So
right. Sounds like it.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, it takes place at the Meyer this coming Saturday. The event starts at 11 o'clock, $25 for general admission for the first judging, and then $40 for the finals, but $65 all day, all sessions, $10 for kids 12 and under.
Yep.
This sounds really exciting.
It's fun.
Absolutely.
It's
going to
be the biggest show, apparently, I've heard. So this will be the year to come for the first time.
Outstanding. All right. Thank you all so much for being here, Tori. Thanks for being here. Anything I can do to help you with that book, please let me know.
Of course.
All right. Quick break. Back up.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. Man, I'll tell you what, those people that are going to be at the Hard Body Competition this coming Saturday at the Meyer Theater, just good people.
Oh, yeah.
Aren't they?
Everybody. They all support each other. I think it's one of those things where you want everybody to win. Somebody's going to, but yeah, they seem to really get along. I think it's awesome.
How much confidence you got to do? Wow. I don't have enough to go. I don't, in my best, greatest day I ever had, whatever. You got to have self-confidence to do that, man.
I mean, everyone in there is just such an inspiration because not only do you have to have insane levels of confidence to get up there and literally put your body on full display for everyone to examine every inch
every
of
little nook
being
and cranny
judged on your body, which I think is like a huge terror for a lot of women,
everybody,
a lot of men too.
But you know, the interesting part, it's not like, well, I played hockey for 7 years and then, oh, I was a bodybuilder before in high school or as a power. None of them. They're all just like, no, I never went to the gym. Yeah. And they, in a year and a half or whatever, it's like, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. Did they tell you the prep? You know what they do? They spray down twice with the.
I want to get some of that. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I want to get some of that.
These pictures are unbelievable. So anyway,
Tori Wittenbrock, headlines with the Press Times. Well, Tori, we're talking a little bit about the UW Green Bay women's basketball program. You know, it's one of those things, though, too, and Kevin Borseth is a great friend of mine. We're with his daughter. It's like the people that have coached in Green, other than one, Coach Boland, he wasn't crazy about it here and went to Illinois, but he had really successful teams, I will say that. But it seems like once you coach women's basketball in Green Bay and you realize the talent pool around the Green Bay, Minnesota areas, like this, you know, for the men, it's so hard. And we've gotten a lot better over the last 10, 15 years of having D1 boys, men's, whatever you want to call it, prospects. Mm-hmm. Okay. But women were way ahead of the game for them as far as being D1 athletes around this area before the guys. So, I mean, that's pretty cool for these coaches at Green Bay. And I think Carol Hammerly was so instrumental at building with her camps and everything like that, getting young girls who never had that real, high level of coaching before, really got them to love basketball. What I'm trying to say here is girls basketball up here in this part of the state is really, really good. But I think Carol Hammerly way back in the late 70s is the impetus as to why we are. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm excited to looking into all that. I know it's really exciting for me now to see, you know, like things that Kayla's doing to bring in those local girls, whether it's from the transfer portal, they went and played somewhere else and now they're ready to come home.
Absolutely.
Or recruiting locally because there is so much local talent, you know. And that's for a school like Green Bay, it's so important to do that because you're pulling in that local fan base and people are excited to support kids that they saw through their high school careers here, you know, not just some kid that came out from California or whatever. And I mean, that will add to the talent pool.
Okay. But I've been watching Cassie play basketball for like 10 years, legitimately.
Yeah.
Cause that Luxembourg Casco, I used to do some of her games or whatever. It's like, since she was a freshman in high school through 5 years, literally, you know what I mean? So you get a chance to see these young players develop all the way through.
Yeah.
Gracie Gresh. I remember watching Gracie when she was in junior high.
Yeah, and her family is so well known around the community for being involved at St. Norbert and everything. So it's like, it's so exciting to see them actually come back and play at UWGB. It's like the story's completing.
You've got a really interesting, compelling, unique story to tell in your book.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to digging into it.
I think the other reason that helps is they win.
Yeah.
You know, I think you go through that men's and it's like people would always say, hey, you know, you want to get season tickets to the women's? Nothing. I've been to games, but I don't know. It's unbelievable how many people bought season tickets to that, you know?
Yeah.
And that's because I think they were winning. Obviously, everybody wants to support, you know, UWGB. But so I think that all helped. And that's going to be interesting because I'm assuming I haven't read your book yet. Of course, you haven't written it yet either. But I don't think there's going to be one thing that made it happen.
Yeah.
That would be my.
And I mean, that's definitely something
hypothesis.
That was used as a recruiting factor, too, when I was coming out to UWGB. I was talking to the coach, Jason Spain, at the time, and he was talking about how, like, one of our strongest programs here that gets the most pull at games is women's basketball.
Right.
And how rare that is, because usually it's football first, and then if not, it's men's basketball. You rarely see women's basketball being, like, the draw, you know, the sport that has the most draw out of school, and I thought that was awesome.
Well, that's the thing, too. When you're being recruited, you know, sometimes, you know, they say that drives coaches crazy, drives them insane. They can recruit a kid, recruit a kid, recruit a kid, recruit a kid, and they can offer him everything in the world. every opportunity, everything, whatever, whatever. And he walks in to the cafeteria or the whatever at high school the next day, and he's wearing their T-shirt or their cap or something. It's like, where's that? So, oh, they suck. And it's like, you know what? He's not going to go to that school. Peer pressure is such a big thing. But for women with UW-Green Bay basketball, right. It's like, oh, I saw them play against Tennessee. I saw them against who they play this year. It was Tennessee, wasn't it? Yeah. No.
Well, Alabama.
Yeah, but, oh, I saw them against Kentucky again. Right. I saw them against Brittany Griner for Baylor. They play the best of the best.
Yeah, it's true. And, I mean, yeah, like Tennessee baseball last night, I was texting my mom. She was watching the Tennessee baseball game, and I was like, they're playing NKU. That's a Horizon League team.
So, yes.
I mean, just because they're Horizon League or a smaller, you know, mid-major school, I mean, there's just as much talent there. And I think that that's one of the really interesting facets of the recruiting nowadays is it's really up to the players to choose what you want to play for. You know, do you want to, like, you might have a lot of talent, but if you don't want to go play for a school like Alabama, or you don't want to ride the bench for 3 years before you had a big program like that, you can go play, you know, same level of talent, you can go play for Green Bay.
And you brought up a great point, okay? Because I think sometimes people have the luster of going to a Big Ten school. Mm-hmm. And if you don't win, life isn't great. And you can say, well, you're on scholarship. Trust me, you've been a collegiate athlete. I've covered it for a billion years. That experience, if you're losing, ain't great.
Yeah. And college is becoming more like pros, where it is very cutthroat. If you're not getting it done, you're out of here.
See ya. And but also, if you're not going to get noticed if you're on the bench. Yep. And people will transfer to get some playing time. Yeah. So
try getting a date when you're on the end of the bench. Trust me on that.
There he's been.
Tori, right. Wittenbrock, love what you do for the press times.
Thank you.
And I want to be with you every step of the way, whatever we can do to help with that book, make it come a reality.
Sounds good. I'll definitely take you up on that.
Thanks so much for being here.
Yep, thank you.
All right, we're going to send a quick break back right after this. If you choose to stay, you wind up playing
anyway. From local stories to local voices, we're shining a spotlight on what matters right here in Northeast Wisconsin. It's more than just talk. It's about connecting with the community. This is Mino and the Mayor. Now, here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. Special thanks, Tori Wittenbrock. Headlines of the Press Times, Jesse and Savannah Van Ness. Bodybuilding show coming up at the Meyer. Paul Hadler, Derek Boswell and Molly Tinnen from Green Bay. Hard Bodies bodybuilding competition taking place this Saturday at the Meyer Theater. And, of course, Cheese Curd Nick for filling us in on so many things happening behind the scenes. And, again, he's a perfect spokesperson because he was in the trenches.
He's not a corporate guy.
He's lived this for, like, 6 months.
I think all of that, right? And he's got experience. He's been to things. So, yeah, he was. I always like talking to people who are on the front line.
He cuts right through everything. So does Don Stumpf. I can't pronounce your other...
Don Grenzer Stumpf.
Grenzer Stumpf.
Grenzer.
How are you? Hey, first of all, just give your title. Educational Engagement Manager at the Myron Apprenticeship Program, getting young people involved with something like this. And I just want to say something, just a personal connection. Had lunch with your esteemed owner of the company a couple of years ago. And it was because he wanted to talk to me about a program he thought we should start when I was with the Veterans Organization in getting, again, young kids, high school, middle age, whatever, to learn more about our veterans, to have them come there, do some work, understand. So he's got a real soft spot in his heart for a mentorship type of program in a lot of different entities. So go ahead and explain what this one is, because I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. So as the Education Engagement Manager, I get to do a lot of great things to help connect our young adults into the construction industry. So not only through the registered apprentice opportunities, collaborative with our local unions of students graduating from high school, but also our youth apprenticeship opportunity. And ironically, today is National Apprenticeship Day. So it's great to be able to advocate for the great career opportunities within the construction industry through getting a jump start through youth apprenticeship, as well as then bridging into registered apprenticeship.
We advocate kids getting into trades on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I teach at a TC, and my concern years ago was it was too narrow of a lane. But now they're learning a lot of other things besides the trade. You know what I'm saying? I think that's good because not that they have to learn, you know, Russian literature, but which I still think was a waste of money. But there's other things I think that I think the school really, really turns out a great product. And the apprenticeship, but that's a younger Are you in high schools?
Youth apprenticeship is for our high school students that are going to be juniors and or seniors. So they can earn high school credit as well as a state certification.
Nice.
And then many of our apprenticeship programs will accept those hours and that experience as they roll into a registered apprentice after graduation.
And the cool thing is I've talked to some kids that have been in programs like this. I was talking to the kid's dad one time. And he goes, he get a phone call. He's like, Dad, guess what I did today? I have no idea. Guess what I did? You don't know. I operated a backhoe. You know what I mean? Or it's like, this is something you'd never be able to do anywhere else. So it's
that
it's
you've always wanted to do.
That you've always every person's wanted to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
It's cool you guys give these young people that opportunity.
Right. And they're on our projects that are building our communities. They will someday be able to drive down the highway and say, I got to be a part of building that building, whatever that may be, if it's working on Title Town or a clinic, a hospital, a large casino, whatever that may be. Our young adults are able to be a part of that.
I think it's fantastic.
That's pretty cool. That and you're right about Myron, especially your company. I mean, there's a lot of good construction jobs out there. But, I mean, yeah, you can drive by a lot of stuff just in our little city here and
see the Myron sign.
Your name's on it, you know. The other thing I think is good about apprenticeships, and I'm a big advocate of those, I think it's discernment for the student as well. They may think they want to do something, and it's like,
this isn't for me.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Well, and then they have the opportunity to put a paycheck in their pocket, learning on the job, and then incrementally.
Oh, they get paid for these apprenticeships.
They do.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So they're making a great income, learning on the job alongside mentors and determining if this is the best career path for them.
Is there an age limit?
Youth apprentice is 16, but then a registered apprentice would be 18 and graduate from high school.
Well, there you go.
Hello, I could do this.
Yeah.
All right.
I thought you retired and now you're back in the industry.
I'm back
so
in
why
the
not
workforce.
Jump into a apprenticeship?
Yeah.
You could be a great carpenter.
Oh, thank you. Hey, one thing about you guys, though, if you get involved with Myron, you might be offered a job in Dubai. Wherever. I mean, you guys are a worldwide company.
We are a nation premier construction company. We're primarily our offices are in the Midwest here in Wisconsin, Upper Michigan and Cedar Rapids. But we do work all throughout the nation. And it really is because of the relationships that we've built with our clients close to home that have taken us to their projects throughout the nation.
And the other thing that someone needs to with Myron, and I want to say there's some other good companies out there that I know, but Myron is the career path. Like you can start here and go over there or over there. And we're talking about geography right now, which I think is great for a student or a young adult to move around. I mean, I remember you guys built the baseball stadium. I forgot where we were. I was sitting next to a Myron guy and I said, what are you doing here? I built the thing. So it's just all over the place in some great cities and communities. But also you may start in one field and have a interest in another field, and you guys are good about transferring them with more education.
Absolutely. We have a lot of homegrown leadership within Myron Construction, so they may start as an apprentice, work to get their journeyman card, and then are into a foreman or even a superintendent and are the quarterback of a project, or choose to go, into project management. So we see a lot of our talent, moving up into leadership roles and not necessarily always doing the physicality component, but behind the scenes and making the project successful.
I remember a guy one time told me he was going to go to school and he worked construction and in the summer. And he thought, you know what? I really actually, instead of going to be a teacher who's, back in those days, teachers are making $8,000 a year or whatever. And they're, construction workers are doing twice that. And he said, a guy told him, if you ever learn how to read a blueprint, he said, you got a job for life that's really high paying and you'll always have work no matter what. Is that still a thing? I know it's CAD now and things like that, but there are certain aspects that if you take just one more step, you get a whole new window of opportunity, correct?
Correct. Yes. From design, virtual construction, project management, IT. I mean, there's still all of those career paths within our office that make a construction project happen.
And the project management, I think, is... it's just so important. I mean, we're working with you right now on a project and I just love when they come in with your charts and I know that's, you use that for other people, but that wasn't like that years ago. And it's just detailed on this day and, you know, the whole PERT charts and that you put together for us. And it's like when people ask, you know, when's the design going to be done? Boom, we just grab the chart and it's going to be, you know, it's right there. And that thing goes out pretty far too. I was surprised how far you guys went out on that. But he's in charge, you know, we're the customer. But I mean, it's like, wow, how are you going to argue with something like that? So
absolutely. I mean, you know, that strategic planning and laying out the deadlines and dates really to help build that dream for that client, because this might be their one and only opportunity to make that dream come true.
Okay, you've got somebody's parents listening right now. They've got a 13-year-old son who would like to get involved in construction down the road. Who can they contact? What can they expect?
Yeah. 13 is, I would definitely have them continue to work with their tech ed students, but as they get into...
Oh, is it 16?
16.
Okay, okay.
Yep. Yeah. So 16.
But to apply the whole... let's say it's 15.
John's,
apply,
a little bit of a, John's a little bit of a slave driver. So John, let your kid have...
They're 13 now. Get out there and work.
There's some child labor laws out there.
Yeah, there are. Give him a paper. Give him a
paper. I worked my brother's gas station when I was 13.
Okay. Right. So at 16.
Yes, at 16. If an individual is interested or student's interested, they can certainly jump on our website, join the team at Myron Construction. We have a youth apprenticeship website that they can apply specifically to that opportunity. They'll get an email from myself and we'll begin that conversation. The other thing I get to do, which is really exciting, is youth apprenticeship is one way to get exposed to the construction industry, but I get to coordinate education engagement opportunities. So meeting the student where they're at or the educators where they're at and provide experiences for them to get exposure on a project site, in our office, by doing job shadows, project site tours, some hands-on activities, because it's, as we know, it's not one and done exposure to convince them that this is a good fit for them.
And I think that is so awesome for kids. We've had people in here from the workspace and these these engineers. I don't even think we knew what engineers were. We thought they drove a train. I went to school with the nuns and everything.
I would love to do that, though. Wouldn't you? I've always wanted to work on a train. Oh, God, I think that would be so fun.
Civil engineers and just all these types of engineers, and they were just saying that if your kid is taking stuff apart, don't get mad. I mean, that's a sign. And you, like you said, you talk to the teachers, which I think teachers have pretty good eyes for talent, and they can say, look, you talk to Johnny over there, because I think he's got an aptitude for that kind of thing.
So
I think
look at that when you go through the application.
I think she does. You go to the, you meet with them, right?
Yeah, we meet with educators, youth apprenticeship coordinators, school counselors to talk with them to identify different skill sets. And sometimes it's the skill sets that you don't necessarily think are aligning with the construction industry that may make them great candidates. So, and sometimes it's the exposure too. They don't know what they don't know until they have that opportunity to connect with a fellow carpenter or a mason. Or what's a millwright? You know, and I think the students having that opportunity to job shadow and connect. And I have...
Jim did bring up a good point. Maybe it'll be the opposite way. Maybe he's going to realize, well, you know what? This isn't the field I want to go in, but he wouldn't have known it.
Right, right. And it could potentially save them a lot of time and financial dollars as well. So, and especially with Youth Apprentice, our students may get paid to realize this isn't what they want to do, but they also built work experience, their employability experience. Yes, got high school credit. A network of professionals that help them navigate. Right. And as you know, it's sometimes who you know, not what you know, that gets you to the place.
Okay, I'm just going back to the walking into the lunchroom thing. Hey, Mino, you coming this afternoon? We're going to skip classes and we're going to go get a six-pack and sit by the river. You know what my answer would be? Can't. I got a construction job. I'm building a new hospital in Green Bay. Huh?
Okay. Yeah.
How cool is that?
Absolutely.
Cool factor.
I'm sure that would have happened.
Exactly. Yeah. Don Grinzer Stump, Educational Engagement Manager at Myron Apprenticeship Program. This sounds phenomenal.
I just, another plug for your company, though. I mean, I know your company very well. I've worked with them for years and years. And I just, it's just they're very employee focused, take great care, I mean, financially, but I'm talking about the whole wellness. And the other thing I tell students, if you're going to work for you're going to go work for someone, see what they do for the community. And you're one of those companies, like, there's a lot of good companies out there, but you come to mind, Nicolay, companies who really take some of their profits, Schreiber across the street, and give it back to the community. I think that helps attract talent.
Yes, absolutely. We are encouraged regularly to give back to our communities, to be involved, to volunteer. Even the projects that we work on, we have a great connection with a lot of nonprofit organizations and, you know, really building legacies, digging deep to our values, really stand behind that, to encourage us as a company, but even individually as workers for Myron Construction.
And employment is tough. I mean, that's always a challenge. We ask businesses, how are things going? Well, it's going pretty good. The work is out there. We just don't have the talent. So you're smart getting in there early.
Yeah.
And getting
building your own
trade pool.
Exactly. And we know there isn't going to be enough bodies to fill the job. And so
the numbers
will
tell you that, right? Yes. There's no mystery that we have fewer employees. So yeah, this is great what you're doing.
I think it's awesome what you guys are doing. Fantastic. All throughout Northeast Wisconsin, from kids can apply from?
Yes, absolutely. We have projects that are throughout the state right now. We have 31 youth apprenticeship students throughout the state of Wisconsin, up in the Wausau area, down in Milwaukee. So wherever we have projects, if we have an opportunity that...
UP?
We do have a student working on a project up in the UP. So wherever we have projects and are able to partner with our local school districts and the communities that we are in, we'll certainly look to get those students.
Okay, just two last quick things. Terrific. Okay, it's wonderful having you here. We're going to keep promoting. Two quick things. Number one, I worked with a gentleman, worked for the Chamber of Commerce, and they had applied. And when they'd get their feedback, he said overwhelmingly the highest grades they got, reviews, were kids that had grown up on farms.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Is that the truth?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a talent pool.
Yeah, that's a talent pool right there. Farm boys. Yeah. Farm girls. Last quick thing. You said I'd be a good carpenter. Had you seen one of my birdhouses from back in the old? Is that where you said that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You are very talented. You've got the niche.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Dawn, come on.
Blow off our next guest. She's coming in. Dawn, you're awesome.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Tell Mr. Myron we said hello and thank him for everything he does.
I will certainly do that. Thank you for this opportunity. We'll do. Yeah. We'll do.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
Back after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, thank you much. Welcome back. We have had such a great lineup of guests today. Todd and Amanda, whoever put this all together, thank you for putting it all together, making it really easy for us. Cheese curd, Nick, you got a million texts on that one, huh, Todd?
People are talking about that. I think we're going to be talking about that for a while.
Yeah, I thought we were going to.
I think we really will. Because I think, Jim, you were touching the subject. Hey, listen, were we told this was going to be? No.
These small businesses, they don't have a lot of resources.
Absolutely not.
I mean, like he said, $13,000, that's a lot of money.
Make or break for a weekend.
When you make $1,000, you know, that's.
$1,200 and going into it.
Right.
Hey, let's talk. Is Jack there?
Jack is there.
All right. Hey, I'm going to an event I'm really, really excited about today in Appleton. We have Jack Voigt, who is a Vietnam veteran, has done so much for veterans pretty much since the day he stepped back into Northeast Wisconsin. Jack Voigt, tell us about what's going on at noon at your place on Richmond in Appleton.
Well, this is somewhat of a somber day. It's a day that... many people may have remembered that 50 years ago, the Vietnam War ended on April 30th, 1975. And so we're here today to mark that occasion as well as to dedicate a memorial wall to the veterans of Wisconsin. 1,249 Wisconsin Vietnam veterans lost their lives in that war. And so we're dedicating the wall, which has both the name and a photo of every veteran from Wisconsin that died in Vietnam.
That's sensational, Jack. And again, it is somber, but it's also great that you're honoring them the way you are. I remember, I know for a fact there's going to be some people whose faces are going to be on that I know their parents their brothers or sisters or whatever. And it's going to be really, I'm going to get choked up, I guarantee it, when I see a couple of them. And she used to say, the mom who was still alive, she used to talk about how every Veterans Day, they would go down to the Vietnam Vets Memorial, which is just kind of a small thing behind the Neville, right across the river from us right here. And all she would do is go up, she'd donate money, but just to thank every one of them for being where their son was, where he died. She said meeting these Vietnam vets is something she had to do because that was her connection to her son from Vietnam. So I imagine today's ceremony and everything, Jack, and when they see these people, their loved ones, pictures on this, they're going to have some of those same feeling. I'm bringing a Marine Vietnam vet who was at Khe Sanh with me today because he wants to be a part of this.
Oh, really? Really? Yesterday was rather a sad moment as well where I met a person looking at the wall. Yesterday we had 20 or 30 people here coming by, and one particular individual says, "That's my brother on the wall, my twin brother on the wall." Really? I said, "Yes." He said, "I would not have gone to Vietnam if I knew what happened." He says, "I got to Vietnam. Next day, they told me my twin brother was killed in the home.
I know exactly who you mean.
It's sad.
I know exactly who you mean, Jack. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack, tell everybody where you guys are, what you're doing, the whole thing, if you don't mind.
We're located at 2508 North Richmond Street. And a lot of people maybe recall Mary's Restaurant and also this Columbus Club. Well, I'm in that area. I'm only three businesses north of Mary's Restaurant on the east side of Richmond Street. So you take 41, you go south on 40 on Richmond Street and go around the roundabout and about a half mile to the south yet. That's where we're located.
Okay.
Where could people park, Jack? Parking's a little sketchy at times around there.
Well, it's going to be chaotic at a little bit, but we have parking available at Mary's Place as well as the old Columbus Club. The Columbus Club has over 40,000 square feet, and so I'm getting volunteers to usher people to park there as well. So the Appleton Police Department is aware of the event, and hopefully we'll have the chaos somewhat organized.
Is Mary's not open?
No, they're open.
Mary's is open, I said.
Yeah. Oh, so we can't, but we can park there?
Oh, yeah, it can. Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know the bank next to you guys are one of the things where they didn't want people parking around there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, certainly.
But if you got the Green Bay Police, the Appleton Police there, it'll be fine. They'll tell people where to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a sister that says, I'll park at Taco Bell. I mean, that's about that's half mile away possibly, but certainly a quarter of a mile away. But she said, I need to walk anyway. So you can attend.
Perfect day.
Yeah, perfect day for it, Jack. Congratulations on this, buddy.
Yeah, Jack, thanks for doing this. I mean, you put your heart and soul into this, and you do. You're one of those guys I see all the time around town, or you've been on TV many times as well. And yeah, this is important. And yeah, like Johnny said, you know, it's a somber day, but you know, it's also, I'm glad we're celebrating it. We're recognizing it.
Yeah.
Because sometimes these things kind of come and go, and it's nice you're taking this time to do this. It must have taken you some time to get that wall done with the pictures, the dates, the research.
Okay, Jack, we're losing you. I'm sorry, buddy. I will see you shortly in Appleton, 2508 Richmond, the dedication of a tremendous honor. Again, 50 years ago today when the Vietnam War came. I remember it like it was yesterday, like nothing. I can still remember watching Walter Cronkite or whatever as the people were up on the top of the embassy and they're pushing the helicopters off the ships and all those kinds of things. Very, very, very somber. We're not celebrating. That's a great point that he made. We're not celebrating it. We're recognizing it. Recognize all of those that really, well, that gave their lives for our country from the state of Wisconsin. I think it's an important thing to do.
Yeah.
So, okay.
12 o'clock, right?
Yep. So I will be there with my good buddy, Chuck Wellens. All right, Todd and Amanda, thanks again for putting together a great show.
Johnny's actually going to do some reporting for us down there.
We've given him
his reporter's notebook and all that good stuff.
They still make reporter's notebooks?
They do.
It's been a long time since I've seen a reporter with an actual notebook.
I think Lisa Hale has one.
Well, Lisa would.
Pencil in the air.
It's awesome. Hat. You'd run into the phone booth to call the news.
Press pass on
the hat.
All those things.
Yeah.
I remember we'd go different stories, and they'd always say, you got quarters? Or excuse me, you have dimes?
Yeah.
Because we'd have to go to pay and fall at a gas station and call back to the station.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
All right. Hey, everybody, thank you for being here. We'll be back again tomorrow morning. Bright and early, Mind of the Mayor. See ya.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.